This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
And now Young with it in the front court. 5 seconds against Neely Keena. Going right. 2 seconds. Gets free. The runner. It's good. Over front rim with 0.9 to go.
It got real quiet in there. It's still yelling now. I don't care. Next one.
It happened. You credited him. Young hit a tough shot.
It's a deflating loss, no doubt about it.
Great player. Obviously, we have to do a better job.
This game on Wednesday, you can slap the must-win label on that game.
Must-win.
You can go ahead and do that. If they don't win that game, then they're going to be out of this series.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour, DCR 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear to be the Goodyear Hotline. So one game into the postseason, one loss for the Knicks, and now Wednesday, after a couple days off, game 2 at the Garden is now a must-win game. The crowd was sensational at the Garden. It was one of the great Garden crowds I've ever heard. Was it with the Knicks? I mean, they looked almost overwhelmed to start that game, Rick. It looked like the moment was and the way that the crowd reacted, almost too big for them to start that game one of the playoffs.
Yeah, but I said this on Friday. Sometimes with a team that lacks postseason experience, I mean, playing the first game at home, especially with, you know, a week off leading into the game, I mean, you wouldn't. Everything going into it, the fact that, I mean, it's been 8 years, the place is going to be sold out, 15,000 screaming fans, that, yeah, I mean, it's nerves, anxiety. It may take a second, and you saw that in the first quarter. I mean, offensively, they were bad in the first quarter, and Julius Randle never got it going, really. Started off slow, stayed slow.
And Rico, to your point, I don't think it's any coincidence that the second unit with experienced guys like Derrick Rose and Tops gives him perform much better than the first unit. I mean, you saw how comfortable quickly and Toppin looked with that second unit. Burks had a huge night, 27 points. Like, those guys playing with veterans that have been in the playoffs and done it at a high level, I think that makes a difference. And you just didn't quite have that same kind of poise with your starters. So you're hoping that, you know, because they were able to have game one under their belt, that they'll come out in game two and be much better. They'll be more prepared for what it's going to feel like, the kind of energy that's going to be in the building, and they can just go out there and relax and play basketball. Because that's ultimately what it comes down to, like being able to play your game, play your style. And I thought that second unit, you know, was more of what we're accustomed to seeing for the Knicks, you know, that bench being a weapon. It's just the first unit's got to get it together, especially on the offensive end.
Well, the bench was the only reason that game was close.
That's right.
I mean, that was really the only reason. I mean, for Julius to be as bad as he was, you know, Bullock wasn't good. He didn't make a three. RJ had a bad first half. I mean, Alfred Payton, I mean, it took him 4 minutes to get put back on the bench, and Derrick Rose to be out there. I mean, they were lucky to be in it down to the last possession. Now, was it a game they could have won because Alec Burks played great and Rose was good and everything else? Yeah, it was. But there were a couple plays. I mean, that Bogdan, laziest name in the history of names, three was a huge three. Where you defended Trae Young perfectly. He's on the baseline.
Me.
Yeah, I mean, it crushed you. Crushed everybody. Looks like R.J. Barrett could have stole it. Turns into a three. And then Alec Burks, as good as he was, had the 18 points, has a really good look. Would have gave you a two-point lead. And then, you know, unfortunately, and again, I get the mindset. But again, like, at a certain point, like, knowing the situation, the fact the guy hasn't played the entire game, how important this possession was, to all of a sudden now go to Frank to be the one, okay, now do us a favor. Since no one's been able to do it the entire game, let's have you that hasn't played. Let's do me a favor on the most important possession of the game. You shut down Trae Young for us. That's a tough spot for Frank
to be. It's a brutal spot. I wonder if you start to play him a little bit more. Because I don't know how much you can play Alfred Payton. And you can't play Derrick Rose upwards of 40 minutes every single night in the postseason. You can't.
Well, offensively, you know, when you're having Payton versus Neely Keena conversation, they're both awash. Like, they're not good offensive players. Although I think of late I have a little more confidence in Frank being able to knock down outside shots than I do Alfred Payton. But, I mean, defensively, you're hoping that Neely Keena's length is going to give Trae Young some problems. Like, Neely Keena is known for being a defensive specialist, and if he gets those minutes where he can get into the flow of the game and get a feel for Trae Young's style, maybe he can do a little bit of a better job of neutralizing him, especially with some of the actions that the Hawks use him in on the offensive end. That would have to be the hope. To me, I don't know the downside in taking that chance and playing Frank more minutes and not playing Peyton at all. I don't know why Tibbs wouldn't look to do that in game two. I don't know what there is to be lost by making that adjustment.
Can't
I really
be worse,
don't.
Right? I mean, it's not like you're going to watch Nila Keenan and pine for Elfrid Payton. It's not going to be worse. So
no.
I'm fine rolling the dice with that. And if it doesn't work, which it might not, maybe you go back to the drawing board then.
No, I'm with you on that. Yeah, you try to find another answer for it. But to something that Rick said earlier, there aren't going to be a whole lot of great answers when it comes to dealing with a great player like Trae Young. Like, Trae Young is going
Special
to be
player.
He's going to be a perennial all-star. Like, he's a really good player, and he plays the most important position on the court, which is the point guard spot. Like, it's akin to being a quarterback in the National Football League. Like, he tees up everybody else. And he's the catalyst for that Atlanta Hawks offense. So it's going to be really, really tough to just shut him down. But I do think there are some things they can do to slow him down. They can beat him up. They can try to expose him on the defensive end, which I don't think they did enough of. Like, Reggie Bullock is just camped out in the corner, and it's just like, I think you have to try to force Trae Young to work on both sides of the court in order to take some steam out of him, because if you let him get downhill off of that pick and roll and he's got a full head of steam, it's going to be next to impossible to stop.
Let's go to some of the calls. Let's go to Brian and Wayne. Brian, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, gentlemen. Glad to be at the game yesterday. Not really happy to see some of the fans. I mean, I'm granted we're all pumped and live, but once your saliva touches my forearm, it's over. I'm not enjoying it anymore. Anyways, a couple points. One, I think it's time for Frank to get to start. Elfrid, I mean, I've backed him up all season, but right now he's just not getting it done. And you can't expect Frank to come in to guard Trae and not have him just come in fresh. You got to give him more minutes before you really expect him to get good.
Yeah, but Brian, let me ask you a question. I'll let you finish your point. Let me ask you a question. In theory, that sounds fine. You bring Frank in, but isn't the goal to early on in the game, and it was something they struggled with yesterday, was trying to find a way to get Julius Randle going because he's your most important player? Now, who's handling the basketball? With Frank Ntilikina starting at that position, who's handling him? That's my problem.
Well, Frank will do it, but then that gets Julius also involved, because you know that Elfrid usually would hold it a bit longer. But this way, you're not messing the rotations of Rose, which you can't give him so many, because you see how Trae blows right by him. Could it be age? I guess. And then you don't interfere with how you have quickly with Obi and that lineup there. So I think it's just something where you got to get him to just keep doing. And you're going to get more touches with Randle in the beginning because Frank is not going to be moving the ball as much early on.
Yeah, but what do you think is going to happen, though? If all of a sudden Frank, who, I mean, have you seen him try to penetrate a defense? It's not possible. He doesn't do it. Like, you saw how much attention they paid to Julius Randle yesterday. Like, now all of a sudden Frank's on the floor starting. Like, what do you think is going to happen to Julius Randle? That's the problem. That's the issue that they run into. Is that you're going to sacrifice one for the other.
That's right.
Yeah, you'd like to slow down Trae Young with the defense, but that now all of a sudden takes away from your offense.
Well, maybe Frank being on the court helps a little bit with spacing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because Elfrid Payton is not a threat to be able to score from the perimeter. He's just not.
But Frank's not really either, though.
Well, Frank is a lot better the last month and a half of the season than Elfrid Payton is.
But I think Atlanta would settle for that.
No,
you know,
make
shots.
But that's my whole point, though, Dave. I think that even if you decide to make the swap for Payton and Frank Ntilikina, I don't think you're gaining anything or losing anything by starting Frank over Elfrid Payton offensively. I don't think that's the case. Like, I don't think Elfrid Payton is this dynamic guy that's going to be able to break down the defense and create opportunities for Julius Randle. If he was, then Tibbs would have stayed with him a little bit longer yesterday. That didn't happen. So offensively, both of them are going to be a wash. But defensively, I think there's more upside with playing Ntilikina. That's why I think it's worth the risk.
I think they have to find a way to incorporate him more. I just think if you're Tibbs and you're in a tough spot, because your best option is Derrick Rose, but how much can you play? You know what I mean? How much can you play Derrick Rose consistently? Like, defensively, he can't stay with Trae Young. He can't.
I'm not messing with that second unit. That second unit scored 65 points yesterday. I'm not messing with that.
You're not wrong. And Quickly was really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't look overwhelmed at all. Toppin
played well.
Had the big dunk in the three. So those guys didn't look overwhelmed. But, I mean, you now get stuck in this weird situation where, you know, I need my starters to get going, but do I want to take away from my bench? Because my bench is a real threat right now. Like, that could be...
I think it's fair to say that if the conversation is Elfrid Payton or Frank Ntilikina, you have major problems at the point guard position.
He speaks French because he's from France.
Well, I think we know that. And that's why playoff basketball is so much different. Like, we had so many people call and say, oh, yeah, you know, the Knicks, you know, 3-0 against Atlanta. We'd be disappointed if they lost the series. And we kept saying, take a step back for a second. It's a really talented team. Most important position in basketball. They got Trae Young. We don't. This team's a different team with Nate McMillan. And people are like, no, we don't want to hear it. Like, everyone, the Knicks were so good this regular season because even with a limited amount of talent, they showed up every night and played hard. When a lot of teams in the NBA show up every night and play
and
hard.
Now everyone's going to show up every night and play hard.
Which all of a sudden now puts a spotlight on the talent deficiency. Like, if you've got talent that's working really hard, it's not that's tough to overcome. Like, you know, they always say, like, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
That's right. But all the talent works hard in the postseason. They're not going to give that away. Anthony in Holbrook. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7.
How you boys doing this morning?
We're doing good, Tone. What's up?
No, man. I just wanted to talk, and I don't want you guys to take this the wrong way, like I'm complaining about him, because he's been absolutely exceptional all season. But we got to call a spade here. Tibbs was awful yesterday, man. His rotations were off. His defensive scheming was terrible. Trae Young was getting to wherever he wanted, whenever he wanted. There's no reason why the last play of the game, the guy who scored 18 points in the fourth quarter is inbounding the ball, and the play he draws up is just a flash to the high post to Randle. There's no reason why Derrick Rose isn't inbounding that ball and you're trying to get Alec Burks a look. It's just he was terrible. He got outcoached by Nate McMillan so bad. There's no reason why you're not blitzing the pick and roll. There's no reason why on the defensive end you're not putting Trae Young in the pick and roll every play. You're just leaving Trae Young to hide in the corner defensively, and he's staying in rhythm offensively. You got to bump him on screens. You got to do all these little things that kind of to try to throw him off. Because but like I said, I'm not complaining because he's been amazing all year. He's a great coach, but he definitely got out coached last night, and he was bad. So hopefully, you know, it picks up. Obviously, Julius has to play better also, but Tibbs has to be better too.
Yeah, I think at a certain point, though, Anthony, I mean, your players got to go out there and perform too. I mean, I don't care what the game plan is, and I understand what you're saying. It's still, I mean, I said it to start the show. I don't understand why your best player is inbounding the ball for the last shot. Like Julius Randle, I know he's been your best player. He was not your best player yesterday.
He was not. You want to try to get the ball in Burks' hands for a shot, and you had a second to do it. I mean, it's not unfathomable that he could have gotten an open look.
No, it's not. I mean, if you would have. After watching that entire game, and you got less than a second, the three of us, if you could pick one person to take that last shot, who was it going to be?
Burks. Alex Burks.
Yep. Exactly right.
Especially if you know that the Hawks are going to double-team Julius Randle in that scenario. Like, Julius Randle got all the attention from the Hawks. So, I mean, if he wasn't good, it just makes sense to go to somebody else that had the hot hand. But
why have one of your shooters? Why have one of your best shooters? There's no time. Like, you're not going to pass that in.
You could put anybody inbound the ball.
But that's what I mean.
It can't just be anybody. You got to make sure that you have a good pass to inbound the ball, Dave, because you don't have a whole lot of time to create
a
shot.
It was a terrible pass.
It wasn't even a good pass.
No,
it was an awful pass.
Guys, I understand that, but he's trying to force the ball to a guy that's being triple teamed. So, I mean, that's what led to a bad pass. But my point is, you're right. Alec Burks should not have been inbounding the ball, but you can't just have anybody inbounding that pass.
No, but here's the point, though. You're right, because you have to be a good passer.
Yeah.
But why take your best shooter away as an option, which allows you now to put as many people as you want on Julius? Like,
I agree with you.
Give me the four best shooters, so now you got to make a decision.
Yep, I agree with you.
Like, I mean, I don't know, man. That made no sense to me. The Frank thing didn't really make much sense to me either, just in that situation, having not played. But
they were they were planning on double-teaming Trae Young, though. Frank just can't let him go to his right. Like, that's the other part about the whole Ntilikina thing. Like, Taj Gibson was stepping up to double him on Trae Young's left. All Frank has to do is make sure that Trae Young goes away from his dominant hand. Like, you cannot let Trae Young go to his right, your left. That's the only job that you have if you're Frank Ntilikina. And he let him do it.
Couldn't get it done.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a Knicks fan, Rick, you're not heartbroken this morning, right? You're disappointed but still optimistic?
Yeah, I would put it that way. Disappointed, yeah. But you got to be optimistic moving forward. You have to be. You have no other choice. Like, Julius Randle will be better. Can't be worse. And you still only lost by 2 points on a last second, you know, Trae Young floater.
Right. And RJ Barrett wasn't great either.
No, he was not. He was better. I mean, he got it cooking a little bit. I mean, there was that one stretch where he hit the three, then he had the massive dunk, had the nice, you know, effort. And then the place was rocking, man. When they got a, you know, those couple consecutive offensive rebounds and then RJ tipped it in, place was going crazy.
Was wild. Here is RJ Barrett, appropriately mentioned, on his first MSG playoff experience.
I mean, it's crazy. Every single, you know, possession matters. Everything, you know, you got to give it your all the time. A lot of fun. Played hard. You know, I know I played my ass off. And like I said, long series ago. So going to need the fans, going to need, you know, the energy, and we'll bounce back.
The end of that third quarter, I didn't like it.
That was rough.
I did not like that. I mean, he's wide open, would have made it 10. Would have made the Knicks lead 10, and then all of a sudden you turn around, Lemon Pepper Lou gets a cook, and Randall has a turnover, and you
end up with
it's a two-point lead going into the fourth quarter.
Yep, that was a big moment, and I thought Bogdanovich's three. Those were the two moments. I was like, oh, because you felt like it was really trending in your direction, and then it got ripped away.
And then all of a sudden, I mean, they had done such a good job, too. I mean, Trae Young, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but one of my concerns going into the series was how much, you know, how often he gets to the free throw line.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, guys being in foul trouble, they did a great job. I mean, it was less than, you know, 7 minutes left in the game before he gets to the free throw line. Then all of a sudden, it's like a parade to the free throw line. He goes nine times.
Nine free throws down the stretch?
Yeah, down the stretch, nine times. And he made all of them. But they have, again, and I'm sure they'll spend the next couple days trying to figure it out, which I'm surprised they hadn't figured it out already going into the game with all the time they had off. But again, you know, you see what Nate McMillan and the coaching staff throws at you, then you adjust. But they got to do a better job of keeping Trae Young out of the paint.
They have to. And I think that formula has to be for Tibbs, being able to change up the looks. Because you can't just do one thing with Trae Young in that pick and roll and not expect for Trae Young to adjust to that and take advantage of that. Like, they've got to throw different looks at him, change it up a little bit, try to keep him off balance. Similar to what Nate McMillan did to Julius Randle on the defensive end. Like, what Nate McMillan did, changing up how he was defending Julius Randle, I think did some things to keep him off balance. And that result was that offense with the starters being a little bit slow, being a little bit sluggish. So I think that has to be Tibbs' approach to trying to, you know, slow down Trae Young, just keep him off balance. But, I mean, the biggest thing the Knicks have got to figure out is how can they get Julius Randle going early in game two? Because if he gets going offensively, then I think that alleviates the pressure from all the other starters on that Knicks team.
He has to. He has to come out game two, play well. Derek in Plainfield. Derek, you're on 98.7 ESPN, pal.
Good morning, fellas.
What's going on, Derek?
Yes, I want to talk about the lineup. I think you have to take Peyton out of there. I know coach want to be loyal and everything, but I think they need to shake it up. They need to insert my opinion quickly. And I have Derrick Rose and Burks coming off the bench.
I don't think you're going to see it. I don't think you're going to see quickly in starting lineup. I don't expect that to happen. I think there's a better chance that Ntilikina is in the starting lineup. I just think that he looks at quickly as one of those bench mob guys. He'll come off the bench. He'll score. He's not going to play a ton of minutes, and you can use him in that capacity. I don't think he's going to start.
Unfortunately, the Knicks don't have again, if you're going to sit here and say that you want to keep that bench together and Derrick Rose can only play limited minutes, like he's going to be at his best with a certain amount of minutes, this, what you saw yesterday, kind of highlights one of the Knicks' biggest deficiencies. Is they don't have that guy, because Peyton's not that guy. Like, we keep saying, like, yo, Julius Randle's got to get going early. Well, who's going to facilitate that for him? Like, who's going to put him in his spots? Nobody is the answer.
I think they have that guy.
Exactly right. So he's going to have to do it himself.
But they haven't had the guy all year, and he's had a great season.
I understand that, but now you're talking about this is a different. The playoffs is a different animal.
I just got done
saying that. When all these teams are game planning now specifically for you and what you're trying to. You heard Clint Capella before the series even started. We got a pretty good idea what we're going to do with Julius Randle.
They seem really confident in executing that game plan, too.
Exactly
they?
Right.
They seem real
confident. They did a great job.
Well, yeah, but and then on top of the fact now that when you look what's surrounding Julius Randle with that starting five, no one's got, like, R.J. Barrett, bad early. Bullock, bad early.
If Bullock is not knocking down shots, it's literally 2-on-5.
Exactly.
When you're talking about the Knicks offensively, because it's R.J. Barrett and it's Julius Randle. And when Julius Randle's not playing well, RJ Barrett's not at a point in his career where he can carry the offense. Like, yeah, he's just not there.
Bullock's got to be better.
Bullock's got to be better.
I mean, listen, I never thought he was a great player, but he had a good season, and he had a bad game one, and he's got to be better. Dino in the Bronx. Dino, you're on 98.7.
Yo, what's up, guys? We can't be too mad at the Knicks. The Knicks played a really good game. There was no point in that game where it was like, in the first quarter, what was it, 8 points? And then every other time after that, it was what, 6, 5, 4? Like, the Knicks played really good. And
did they really, though, Dino? You thought the Knicks played a really good game yesterday?
It was a two-point game.
I'm not saying they were awful, but I don't – I mean, am I wrong, guys?
Really mean,
I think you looked at the Knicks and thought they played a really good game yesterday?
All right, look. Let me just get to my really point, my really quick point. All you needed was Julius Randle to get going, and maybe it could have been a different story. But Tibbs got it done, and what, by 2 points? And Julius Randle didn't play? Like, come on. We think we're being a little too hard on the Knicks this morning.
I don't think anyone's being hard. I said you're disappointed that they lost because it was a winnable game. And, I mean, you let one – listen – if you have a situation where your best player struggles the way that Julius Randle struggled, and you're still right there to win the game with plenty of opportunities to win the game, it feels like you missed an opportunity.
A guy that you're chanting MVP was not good last night. RJ Barrett was not good last night, right?
Bullock, not good last night.
Reggie Bullock was awful last night. Elfrid Payton, it was. I mean, four of your five.
Noel got hurt.
So yeah. To sit here and tell me the Knicks played a really good game, I thought the bench was really good. But I don't think the Knicks played a really good game by any stretch last night in that one.
No, but that's why you're optimistic moving forward into game two, is that they'll make adjustments. And we all expect
they will. I'm not panicked.
No, I mean, Julius Randle's track record has been have a bad game like this, and there weren't many of them, but he would bounce back and have a really good game. Now, let's just hope that the supporting cast plays better, and the Knicks bench maybe is not, you know, 64 points, but they do what they've done all season, which is be a real weapon when they're on the floor.
Don't you wonder what people watch sometimes?
I think what they watch and what they want to see are two different things.
Like how could you have watched that game last night and say to yourself, boy, the Knicks played really well?
I think because you're looking at the result.
Well, I think the Knicks played really hard. But that's not different than any other game that we've seen the Knicks play all season. So I think that's why fans want to say they played well, just because you always get the energy from this team. But I think execution, they've got to be better, especially down the stretch, and especially defensively. Like, we've seen them be better. We know they're capable of it. That's the part that they've got to clean up. I have no doubt that Julius Randle will be better offensively in game two. That's the starters will be better in game two. But it's just a matter of them, you know, going out there and getting it done. And last night, they didn't get it done.
Nope. And game
why
two,
have, here's the other
huge
thing. Why have, Dave, let me answer this question for me quickly. And again, I don't want to, listen, I don't get paid millions of dollars to draw up plays and everything else. That final play, I'm sitting here watching the replay over and over and over again. Why is Taj Gibson even on the floor? No, seriously, why?
For screens?
Well, he didn't run it. He didn't run a screen.
Listen, I agree with you. I'm just you're asking the question.
He was just standing there. He's not a threat. Where he was standing, he's not a threat to shoot.
No. And he's not a threat to shoot anyway.
Rico, why have Alec Burks on the inbounder?
Well, that's what I mean, though. That was the first.
Why have Alec Burks on the inbounder? Like, just put Alec Burks on Trae Young with Frank Ntilikina and keep him from getting the ball. Just keep Trae Young from getting the ball. Give it to whoever else and force that person to beat you.
But the game was lost at that point anyway. Yes, it's a frustrating play, but I really believe the game was lost with 0.9 left in the game.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Locked into 98.7 FM all day long. The Michael Kay Show will give away a pair of Nets tickets for game two later this afternoon right here on 98.7 ESPN. So that's very exciting. And Knicks tickets are coming your way for game two during the Kay Show as well. So Ticket Central is the Kay Show if you need more impetus to listen to the show.
You know what's exciting, Dave? I'll tell you what's exciting.
Tell me.
Friday night, Little League action. Mm-hmm. Two straight innings, getting all three outs.
Really?
Oh,
nice. Like,
well played Little League?
Well played Little League. Had a quick inning. One inning where we only gave up one run.
Were you striking at the kids?
No, no one strikes out. This is legit outs. We're getting outs.
Really? Like, plays are being made in the infield?
Multiple plays.
Do you
throws
put more than 11 kids in the infield?
11? No. No, we got first, second, right. Short, third, and then we got two kind of like intermediate by the
two floaters.
Well, by the pitcher, you know what I mean? Because it's still long throws.
Now,
you know,
will
what I'm
you field the position or you let the ball go?
No, I never field the position. No,
you
no.
never field the position.
I just pitch and I get out of the way.
Now,
and
are you the typical dad coach who puts their kid at shortstop?
No, Milo. He likes to catch.
Oh, okay.
So he did some catching. Played a little like kind of like rover by the pitcher. It's with Milo. It's kind of like it doesn't matter where you put him because he always ends up somewhere around the ball, like diving on the ground. Like if you see a kid on the ground, like hat sideways off his head, that's usually him. Impressive though.
But when you're catching, how are you involved in every like you can't.
No, when he's not. What I'm saying is the best.
Right. So if
the reason why I like when he's catching,
if there's a play at second base, he's over there.
Exactly right. Like yeah, catching, no, I know I, where he's going to be. Like yeah. anywhere I put him in the field, he ends up like chasing after the ball and ends up like on top of somebody or like, you know what I mean? Like it's like, Milo, you're supposed to be playing third base. Why are you now in right field?
Yes, he's the traveler. He's the wanderer when it comes to Little League Baseball. Yep, every team has one. Let's go to Paul in Staten Island. Good morning, Paul. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey.
Paulie, what's up?
How are you? Yeah, hey. Hey, just want to talk about the Knicks tonight. We keep talking about how Randle didn't play well, Barrett didn't play well. I think a lot of that is just the nerves in the building for the first game at the Garden in the playoffs. Neither of them have been part of that. I used to go to games in the late 90s, and the energy in the building is really unlike anything else. You saw it on Tibbs' face, even during the national anthem. He was nervous as anything. You could see. So I think, and then you saw the rookie step up. Maybe they didn't feel the pressure to, perform as well as Randle and Barrett did. But I think you'll see a bounce back in game two.
Yeah, I would imagine the same thing, too. I mean, don't forget, I mean, Canty made this point earlier in the show. It's like, I don't care who you are on the team. There's going to be an enormous amount of pressure going into your first playoff experience, especially at Madison Square Garden, you know, places packed and everything else. But, I mean, take that and now multiply it by however many you want when you're Julius Randle and you're R.J. Barrett. And you're the guys that you know everyone is counting on to have great games to help you win.
Exactly. So I think we do have to. I do agree with the call before that. Like, yeah, they didn't play great, but we do. I think we should back off a little bit, give them a break. You know,
but Paul, I'm gonna ask this to you as well. Who's destroyed the Knicks this morning on this show?
Who's destroyed? I guess no one's destroyed the Knicks. I guess you're right. But I think a little too much pressure on Randle and Barrett. A little disappointment in Randle and Barrett.
But Paul, you got to understand this, though, Paul. You got to understand this. I mean, I don't know what you're – let me ask you before we hang up. What's your expectation going into the series? Did you think the Knicks would win the series?
I think they could win, but I think it's a game seven series.
Okay, but a lot of people felt like – I mean, to your point, Chris picked them in six, Dave and I picked them in seven, right? We felt like the Knicks had a really good chance to win the series because they have home court. The reason why now you're like, oh, you know, it's, you know, don't put too much pressure. Well, guess what? Because they lost game one, there's way more pressure now in game two. Because if you lose game two, you don't feel great about the Knicks coming back to win the series, right?
Absolutely. You didn't feel that in the first quarter when they started off slow. You're like, oh, they lost that advantage there. They lost that energy really quick. But you know what? Like I said, it's going to happen. Randle and Barrett felt that energy. They felt that pressure. And they didn't step up. Hopefully, game two, they step up.
They have to. They have no choice. I mean, they have to step up because they have to win game two.
Those are your best two players. And thanks for the call, Paul. Those are your best two players, and they need to play better. And I think this is very unfair. I don't think any of the three of us, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, have killed the Knicks. We were disappointed. We didn't think that Randle played well. We didn't think that Barrett played particularly well. And we're still somewhat optimistic for the series. But how is that an unfair take after what they did last night?
Well, it's not, Dave. And we're not killing the Knicks. We're just pointing out the plays that could have made a difference in this game and talking about what the Knicks need to do better if they're going to have a chance to win game two. That's all we've highlighted. Like, they've got to find an answer for Trae Young. That has to happen. Handling the pick and roll. It's not like the Knicks didn't know that was coming. They're going to have answers for that. And their approach in game one wasn't good enough because Trae Young was able to get downhill, able to get in the paint, and make plays. Either it was him scoring or him getting the ball to the open guys and letting them knock down shots. That has to change in game two. The other thing you got to figure out is how to get your starters going offensively. Most importantly, Julius Randle, because he is the engine of that team. So figuring out a way to get him going offensively and then figuring out what you're going to do with the starting point guard position, because Alfred Payton ain't it. So I think if you get answers to those three questions, then you're talking about a different outcome in game two.
Let's go to Dan in the Bronx. Good morning, Daniel. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call. Just calling because I think I disagree with you guys. What you guys take on RJ Barrett having a bad game? When you think about it, nobody passed him the ball towards the end of the game. So what do you expect him to do? The ball movement wasn't there at the end of the game. If you want to blame somebody, you got to blame Tom Thibodeau, because it's not from the beginning of the game. You don't put Alfred Payton to start. You put a veteran to start. It does not make any sense. I would have put Derrick Rose to start as point guard.
They can't play Derrick Rose that many minutes, for God's sakes. They bring him off the bench. That's where they're comfortable. And you know what? You say you would have started a veteran. Alfred Payton is a veteran. It's exactly what the guy is.
He has no playoff experience. Let's talk.
None of them do.
Derrick Rose does.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Derrick Rose. I mean, yeah, Alfred Payton played the first 4 minutes. You act like Derrick Rose, you act like Alfred Payton played the whole first quarter of the game. Tom Thibodeau was doing what worked for the entire season. And maybe it was because he doesn't want to just all of a sudden quit on Alfred Payton because he likes Alfred Payton and they got all this way with Alfred Payton. He'll see how it looks in game one and then he'll adjust. Maybe it changes in game two because it didn't work. I mean, it didn't. Alfred Payton.
He's
got to
do something different with Payton. He has
to. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
No.
He tried to give him an opportunity at the beginning of the second half. And it still didn't work. The guy didn't even make it 4 minutes. Like, you got to go in a different direction at point guard. I don't know what that direction is. To me, it would be Frank Ntilikina and seeing what happens with that. But, I mean, we know that Tom Thibodeau is not going to break up that bench unit. Like, Quickly and Rose are coming off the bench. He looks at that as a weapon. So to sit here and say, well, why can't Derrick Rose start? Why can't Derrick Rose start? I'll tell you why. Because Tibbs looks at his bench unit as what could make the difference in the outcome of this series. He's not going to break that up. And I think he was validated by their performance yesterday, scoring 64 of the 105 points that the Knicks put on the scoreboard. So we got to figure out what's going to happen at the point guard spot, and this is something that we talked about coming into this series.
Maybe he starts Alec Burks.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he does that. See how that works. But I think, to your point, Chris, I think at some point you do have to, I mean, if you think
Frank's
that...
Frank's got
to
be a part of it.
Yes.
Somehow,
I mean,
some way. He has to be.
If that's your ace in the hole, that we're going to put Frank on Trae Young in the most important possession of the game, like if you think he can play good defense on Trae Young and make him work and make it uncomfortable, then find a way to do that during the course of a game as opposed to just throwing
for 9 second stretches.
But I think it's what you said, though, Rico, because Alfred Payton is a veteran and Tibbs has been riding with him the entire year. He wanted to give him that opportunity once you got into the playoffs. You know, coaches don't want to change things. Players don't want to change things.
Guys, I respect that, though.
Guys want the rotation to be what it's going to be. They want to know when they're going to get into the game. They want to know when their opportunities are going to come. So I get why Tibbs wouldn't want to change that. But you got to face the reality that the guy is just not good enough. There's no value add to that. Like, the Knicks are at a deficit with him on the court.
When him
off the court, I want to say in the last month of the regular season, with him off the court, I think the Knicks lineup was like plus 150. Like, that just shows you, like, there's a clear difference when you have somebody else at the point guard spot versus having Payton out there.
Let's go to Sebron in the truck. Good morning, Sebron.
Morning, DCR. How you doing? I'm going to come a little different this morning with you guys. I'm a huge Nets fan, but I also like to watch the Knicks, and I root for them. I just want to say to the Knicks fans, just hold out, everyone. Hold out. Watch the playoffs. Let the guys play. I just believe the Knicks need to add a few pieces. You know, they're doing very well. People didn't expect them to go this far and to compete. We just want to watch them and just let them compete. Next year they get a few pieces and they can go a little
farther. This is a terrible take. It's awful.
And enjoy.
How far do you think they're going to go? No, don't just sit back and whatever happens. You're allowed to be critical. You're allowed to be frustrated. You're allowed to be annoyed that the Knicks could have won that game and maybe should have won that game and didn't win it last night. This is not just a sit back and relax and whatever happens.
Yeah, but I don't think we're asking too much, though, too. That's the other thing. But he's a Nets fan, too. I mean, you can't take that with a grain of salt. I mean, what we're asking is Julius Randle to be more like what we saw this season as opposed to what he was last night. Right?
Yes.
Reggie Bullock, same thing. The guy didn't make a three. Right? I mean, R.J. Barrett, I mean, he's been your second best player for the most part this season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give us a little bit better. It's not like, oh, we were expecting, like, we need Emmanuel Quickly and Obi Toppin to carry us.
No, but Dave is right, though. That's an absolutely ridiculous take. Because the Knicks can't win a championship, then they shouldn't be upset about not competing and not winning in the first round against the Hawks when you have home court advantage.
It's a terrible take.
It's a ridiculous take.
I'm allowed to be upset. I'm a fan of the team. They were up by three with a minute to go. They lost the game. I'm allowed to be upset. Don't tell me just sit back and watch it and take whatever comes your way.
Not a great take. I'll agree.
Terrible take.
Not a great take, no.
Yeah.
Cutting your wireless bill in half feels good, really good. Get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month. That's up to 50% less than the other guys, Straight Talk Wireless. KJZ, you know where they're leading. I mean, they got Han on the show. They're leading. They're Knicks. They're heavy NBA.
I don't know if I can even. I mean, I didn't even want to tell you the question that was just asked while we were at break.
By who?
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to say a name, but the question was posed to Dan Orlovsky. I mean, even if Aaron Rodgers is still on Green Bay, doesn't Jordan Love have to play?
No.
Oh, yeah. That was the question.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that goes without saying, right? You got to get Jordan Love some time. Aaron Rodgers is there.
Of course.
See what you got there.
Yeah,
he's got a punchable face. I think that's fair enough to say.
Wow.
You got to spell him.
I just don't understand how you're consuming all of this content while we're doing a show.
Yeah, how are you? We're doing our show. You're supposed to prep for our show, and you're watching other shows?
I'm multitasking. I'm going back and forth.
What are you, like Drake? You got ghostwriters?
Yeah, no. I'm doing this. I'm writing songs. I flipped to that. I was on the Golf Channel. It's a little Phil. I'm all over the place. Checking out. I was watching a little bull riding earlier.
Why? Why are you doing that to yourself? You're watching
NPR? You're not emotionally here on the show. You're not emotionally on the show with us.
Of course I am.
No, you're not.
That's a nice little nugget I just brought to the show.
It's a great nugget, but it makes me concerned. How much time are you spending cheating on us?
You're worried about me cheating?
Yeah. See, Dave.
Really?
What?
Really? With who else is on the show?
No, you know what you're doing now? I've made fun of Canty and given him a hard time, but now you're deflecting. This is not you. This has nothing to do with Chris.
No, Dave, you just set me up to catch a stray.
No, that's not what true. No, he took it that way because he's a master deflector.
What you just did is like when you get the spread gun in Contra?
Yes, that's exactly
that's what
it
you
was.
Just did.
Just unloaded it.
You're deflecting. You're cheating on us. At every break, you're watching somebody else walk by and checking her out.
No, I'm trying to find more content for the show is what I'm doing.
I don't think
so. I didn't keep that to myself. I just brought it right to the show.
It's hurtful.
Was that really content for the show, though?
I just thought it was interesting. It makes me feel better about our questions.
It's ridiculous.
So next time anyone asks a really bad question, it's like, no, there was one worse.
There was definitely one worse.
Doesn't Jordan Love have to get some time?
He's got a punchable face. I think that's fair enough to say.
He's got to get some burn, doesn't he?
My
if you bring Aaron Rodgers back.
No.
Maybe if Rodgers comes
the
back.
The answer to the question would be no.
Maybe they split time next year. Let's go to a guy that he gets it. He's a Knicks fan, and he's Spike in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike.
Good morning, my friends. This was quite an interesting game. Their star outplayed our star. It always comes down to the star. Now, I get how they handle Trae Young. I totally disagree. Trae Young is a 34.3% three-point shooter and less than that from the top of the key where he sets up. You want to force him left, that's easier said than done. More difficult than you think it is. But what he does is he sets up inside the 23-9 line, and then he drops, he looks for a fake, and he drops back, he steps back, then the defense reacts, just look at any time. He only took three three-point shots last night. He was 1 for 3, right on his 34% number. They have to react and force him to take that shot if to eliminate him from driving into the paint and doing the floater or doing an alley-oop into the big guy. I mean, it was terrible. And listen, you can't have Alec Burks, who was on fire with .9, taking out the ball. I know you guys went over that ad infinitum. If you had a second and a half, maybe. Not .9. And Randle just... Listen, first game in the playoffs, I'll give him a pass, but that was such a winnable game. And when they were up, what was it, 7? They could have made a shot and almost put it away. Elfrid Payton's done, boys. Elfrid Payton's done.
You know what tell me, Dave, if you remember this play. The best... If you were to take one play that encapsulated Julius Randle's night last night, was Nerlens Noel. Collins goes up for a dunk. Noel, and he's done this the entire year.
He blocks it, and then Randall throws it out of bounds.
Randall dribbles it out of bounds.
Yeah. He didn't play well. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Let's go to John in Queens. Good morning, Johnny. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. First, I wanted to say, being at the Garden last night, we could feel electricity. Obviously, Knicks basketball is back. If you guys told me before the game that Julius Randle would have that type of game and we'd lose by 2 points, I'd take it. So there's a lot of positives to take from the game last night. I think the main take I took was that Elfrid Payton's not going to be playing much more in the series. Like you guys just alluded to, I think even Alec Burke at the point guard would make more sense because you're going to be able to put more size on Trae Young by allowing RJ or Bullock to guard Trae Young in those positions. And, I hope we bounce back, and I love listening to you guys, and I'm just going to listen to you guys respond. Thank you.
You know what the other thing would be nice, too, is make it – like we're sitting here, and I think everyone that said it is right. Like, I think – you know, the more size, throw bodies, make it on the offensive end, make it more difficult on Trae Young.
More physical on him, yep.
Yeah, but even on the defensive side of the ball. Like when Trae Young's playing defense.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said earlier. I said Trae Young was just camped out in the corner with Reggie Bullock. Like at some point, you got to put Trae Young in the actions on the offensive end to force him to defend. Take some steam out of him. You have to do that. And they didn't do any of that yesterday. I mean, Trae Young is just sitting out there. I'm sitting there thinking, are the Hawks playing zone or are they a man? Like, he's just literally sitting out there not doing anything on the defensive end of the court. How does that help your cause in terms of trying to slow him down offensively?
Yeah, I'd get him running through screens. I'd be physical with him. I would hit him hard. Like, I want him to feel that he's playing, both ends
of the
court.
But just the audacity that Nate McMillan had on putting Trae Young, who is a smallish guy, on Reggie Bullock, who's a small forward. Like you got to make him pay for that. You have to. I don't know, man. That's just one of those things that I just saw that kind of is a little bit of a head-scratcher. But, I mean, that's why Tibbs was talking about looking at the tape, Julius Randle and others. Like, they're going to find answers or solutions to some of the issues that they saw in game one and figure out a course of action where they can try to slow Trae Young down.
I would agree. Let's go to Ron in Chester. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, guys. Dave, I have to defend Rick. He's really not a master deflector. Mainly because if he was, he'd still be in the NHL.
Great point, Ron. Excellent point.
Thank you. The Knicks, guys, let's not overblow it. If you had gotten the understanding that their starting team was going to be terrible, their best player was going to be terrible, and they were still coming down to the end of the game, it's the way the Knicks play. They play ugly in general. So that was a winnable game. Let's not start overthinking things. He's going to play Payton. He's going to stay with the same rotation. He's not starting with Kenina. It was a 2-point game, ugly game, very winnable, and your best play was just absolutely horrible. Your second-best offensive option was not good, and they still came within 2 points.
Yeah, but Ron, I don't...
Atlanta's a good team.
No, you listen, Ron. I don't think that anyone's sitting here overblowing the loss. And I don't think it can be overblown, period. I mean, that's just my take. But it puts that much more pressure now going into game two.
You
right, like now
pressure.
All of a sudden, I mean, this is it. Like, this is, I mean, you have to win game two.
You lose game two, the series is done. And you know what I really don't like today? And I'm surprised that we're getting all this, you should be pleased. It's not that big a deal. You really competed. You competed with that, your guys. I get all the silver linings from this game, but I'm still allowed, and the Knicks fan still, I think, should be annoyed that they lost that game.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that if you're a Knicks fan, you're not annoyed that you lost.
Well, it doesn't sound like it from the bulk of the calls today.
Oh, because I think people want to remain optimistic.
You can say, look, I still like our chances, and I'm still frustrated that they lost the game.
And I agree with you. But that, I mean, if you're a person that thinks the Knicks were going to, or thought that the Knicks were going to win this series, it's a tough pill to swallow to all of a sudden lose game one at home.
Yeah, it ain't great. It ain't great.
Like,
I predicted the Knicks to win in six, and right now I don't feel great about that, especially with them giving up home court. But the one thing that I will say is this. I mean, the Knicks have always found a way to bounce back after disappointing losses, and there's no other way to characterize what happened on Sunday at the Garden other than saying it's a disappointing loss, because the game was right there. You lost it by two, and in the last minute there were a couple of plays that didn't go your way that caused the result to be what it was. So you would expect that, this Knicks team is going to be able to come out and respond to having that little bit of a letdown in game one, especially with so many fans in the Garden on Sunday. Like that energy, they're going to have to find a way to be able to channel that and be more constructive. But all of those things being said, this Knicks team still played the kind of pace, the kind of tempo that we all felt coming into this series that they had to in order to give themselves a chance. And if they can continue to keep that up, I still like the Knicks' chances of being able to win this series. I do.
Yeah, I don't think their chances, their hopes are lost by any stretch. All right, Santi, let's see how well you've been paying attention today. It's time to hand out the three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Before I award number three, I got to say I'm a little disappointed in Omar. We didn't hear from him today. I don't know what that means for him, Rick. Do you have any verdict?
He's banned.
Well, yeah, they both say. I wouldn't ban him for the full series, but they're saying that he is banned for the entirety of the
series. Here comes my New York Knicks food.
He better have a damn good excuse as to why he didn't call in.
Now, RJ, you have to let us know if he, in fact, calls to try to get through, and you tell him he's not allowed on the air in the coming days.
I got to tell him.
We can't put him on air and tell him, but he's banned from the air.
Before we eat into too much time, the actual third star is going to go to Derek in Brooklyn, the Nets fan who took great offense to you guys trashing the Nets last week for some reason.
Not only did they came back, they were talking bad about the crowd.
Derek,
sold out.
Yeah, here
we came back.
Derek.
Hi.
I don't know what to tell you. The fans showed out in Barclays Center, which brings us to
number two.
Yeah, James Harden setting the tone.
What's up, Nets fans? It's James Harden. For a limited time, I'll cover half of your tickets. We got to get Barclays Center rocking. All right, go get your tickets now. Use the code Harden. You dig?
Barclays was rocking on Saturday. Great job, Nets fans, for James Harden covering half the price on the tickets. Great job. Be proud of yourselves. Give yourself a pat on the back.
Number one.
Listen, I found myself questioning why Knicks fans were cursing at Trae Young. I didn't feel like he had quite earned their hate. But now, after what took place in game one,
it got real quiet in there. It's still yelling now. I don't care. Next one.
Mission accomplished. You want Knicks fans to hate you? Okay, now they'll hate you for real.
I already hate that guy.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.